Hi, I'm Emily. I'm a food addict. I'm so grateful to be here. I just have to say, when I came in to the meeting, there was such an exuberant, joyful welcome. I was blown away just by the gorgeous nature of the pre-meeting. And it reminded me how much that even though I've never been to this meeting before, I'm at home here because I'm a food addict. I'm a compulsive eater, and everyone else here is too. And we have this thing that binds us together. And it's a beautiful thing. And I didn't always feel that way. It took me a long time in the rooms, before I felt one of, before I felt a part of. It took me a long time to feel that way. So, I guess, I really want to focus on how step work through the big book has changed my life entirely. But I do want to, I'll qualify a bit and tell you where I'm coming from. I came into program in October of 2011, miserable, full of self-loathing, unable to stop eating. I at the time was in this binge starvation cycle where and it kept getting tighter and tighter, so I would binge my brains out for several hours at a time, just feeling so stuffed full, that I was in physical pain, heart racing, so hot because I'm like my body's trying to metabolize all these calories that I'm just like so uncomfortable, hating myself. And then somehow I would finally stop eating, just kind of pass out, wake up, say, I'm never going to do that ever again. And then, the next day, try not to eat anything at all. And sometimes I'd make it a day, sometimes only a couple of hours before I was in the food again. And so, and I've had two relapses in this program, and the binging cycles got worse and 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 worse. It's a progressive illness for me. I came in then. I got a sponsor pretty quickly. I got abstinent pretty quickly. I really just latched on to program. I came into I noticed that there was something kind of shiny and special about the Big Book step study process about year three and a half. And so I got a Big Book sponsor. I went through the steps, and then I convinced myself that it was okay to leave program. I was in program for about 5 years, and I thought, well, I need more time to live my life. I need more time to concentrate on, deepening my spiritual practice. And it sounded great at the time. But I was avoiding some step nine amends that I was terrified of making, and I just was in denial about that. And I also wasn't doing my 10 step turnarounds. I thought that because for some strange reason, although it doesn't say in the book, I thought that because I had been through the process, I wasn't supposed to be fearful or resentful or have any feelings anymore. And so, if I'm not even able to admit that I have these things that need to be, I need to do turnarounds on, I'm not going to do turnarounds on them. And so I got sick again. I relapsed hard. And so I was out for about a year. I would rove the trash bins at work. I would, I felt like a squirrel, like constantly looking over my shoulder to make sure no one was watching as I'm taking food out of the trash. And I would rove the aisles of the store, those aisles that I don't buy anything on anymore. That, just I would, if you had seen a videotape of me, you probably thought I was stealing because I would take something, put it in the cart, put it back, take something else. Like I was absolutely insane. And while all this like crazy behavior was happening, yes, I was gaining weight, but I also like that's all I was focused on was getting more of my drug foods into my body as fast as I could, and trying to like make it look like I wasn't doing that, and trying to lose weight. And so those were the things I was focused on. And so I wasn't present for the people in my life, which was very painful. At the time, I thought the only person I was hurting was me, but I learned through working the steps that no, I hurt everyone who loved me by withdrawing, by being so deep in my addiction and my self-centered fear that my life was very, very small. So it's been an interesting journey for me. It hasn't been like a straight linear line in terms of recovery, but that's okay. That's just been my path. So I've been a moment at a time, a day at a time, consecutive day after week after month. I just passed on February 11th, my fourth year, my fourth anniversary, which is absolutely inconceivable to me. This is not something I've done on my own. This is all because of the grace of my higher power. And today, almost every day, I would say 99% of the time, food is neutral to me, which is an absolute miracle. It's not just about being absent. It's about the fact that like food doesn't call to me. I'm not like muscling it. It's not effortful. It just flows from my higher power's grace. And that's unbelievable to me because for a long time in program, but also out of pro, before program, that's all I could think about was food. And now, now that's not the case. I have been 45 pounds heavier than I am now, and I've also been 20 pounds lighter than I am now. I had two very painful instances of having to regain weight in program, which was very, very difficult and took a lot of trust in my higher power. I do have restriction in my story as well. But yeah, so when I came into Big Book, I knew that I knew that I was still crazy. I was not happy. I had been abstinent for about 3.5 years. This was back in 2014. I had been abstinent for about 3.5 years, but I felt like a stranger in the room still. I didn't feel like I belonged very much. I was still very, I was in that, so much self-reliance, and so much in the bondage of self, those terms from the Big Book. I just knew that there was more freedom available. And so I started going to this Big Book meeting, in Worcester, Massachusetts, where I was living at the time. And well, I wasn't living in Worcester, but close to Worcester. And I, and I saw something in the people who had been through the process. There was a freedom about them that I just wanted. And so I got a Big Book sponsor and I started working the steps. And I, at the time I thought I had to do it perfectly. And it turns out I didn't. But I realize now as I continue to grow in this program that, my step four inventory was really just practice for the rest of my life. It was certainly cleaning up the past. It was it was getting rid of some heavy duty baggage that I was carrying on to. But it was it was very much just learning what a turnaround was, very much learning these tools that enabled me to live my life on a daily basis. At the time, I guess, I wanted freedom. But I love the reminder in the Big Book, because especially, it took me 10 months to write my step four. And I loved the reminder in the Big Book of like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Like, this is painful. This is hard. Like, why am I putting myself through this? Can't I just like weigh and measure my food and talk to my sponsor and go to meetings and call it a day? Like, why this inventory? And what it says in the book is that like, if I don't, I have a fatal malady. And if I don't do this, I'm not going to recover. I'm not going to stay abstinent. And that's just the truth. That's been my story. And so I love that reminder. Like it's for me, this work is not optional. I need it to stay out of active addiction. And for me, I love the readings that this meeting has. They're really beautiful. Some of them I had not heard. And I am powerless over my addiction. And what that means is I need something else to help me because I am powerless. I cannot help myself. My will, as I've demonstrated over and over and over again through a lot of effort and a lot of pain, is not sufficient. It's not the right tool. My will is, I can have a lot of willpower, but it's not the right tool, you know? And so what do I do? And so the steps tell me, you know, step two is like, I have to find a power greater than myself. And not only do I have to find one, I have to come to trust and rely on that power to help me with my problem. Not just, and I've come to realize that it's not just overeating that my problem. I have problems in a lot of areas in my life, and my higher power can help me with all of them. And so what this process does for me is it keeps me in contact with a power, my higher power. And I'm so grateful for the language in this book. You know, I had a problem with the word God for a long time. And I'm not required to have specific beliefs in any sort of higher power. And I'm really grateful for that because I think, I don't know if I would have stayed. I would have had a really hard time with that. So I'm just so grateful that today I can have my spirituality can be what it is, and we can all have our own beliefs that, and that's fine. And that can work with my all, you know, all that I need is a tiny smidgen of willingness to turn to my higher power. And sometimes that means, you know, if I've had instances where, you know, I'm about to pick up. And all I need is that tiny smidgen of willingness to pick up the phone and call another, you know, overeater. And, you know, my sponsor, when I was in relapse, my sponsor at the time would say, like, are you willing to commit to picking up the phone and reaching another OA person on the line before you eat? She said, you can eat afterwards. That's fine. Do whatever you want afterwards, but just get someone on the phone. And I have to tell you, that saved my life. That's really, you know, I've heard the term in the room, God with skin on. That's what you all are to me, you know, for me, is God with skin on. Thank you for being here. Because I cannot do this alone. You know, I can't do it without my higher power, but I also can't do it without my fellows. And so I was starting to say that, like, I need help, you know, I need help. And what this process does for me is it gives me a clear access to my higher power. You know, and I love the analogy of, you know, say you have like a fan, something that needs to be plugged into the wall, you know, and you expect it to run. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna let this fan run, without it being plugged into the wall. It's like I have to plug the fan into the wall if I expect it to work. And that's the same thing with my disease, with staying abstinent. Is like if I don't have access to my higher power, I'm not I'm I don't have the power. So I wanted to talk about the turnarounds a little bit because I use them on a daily basis and they really help me. And one of the things that the language in this book was really difficult for me in the beginning, and I had to really rely on my sponsor to help me sort of define some of the terms because, you know, I was really confused. And so, you know, that question of where was I selfish? I was told that all that means is what did I want that I wasn't getting? And so often, you know, that can be things like acceptance, love, you know, people to like me, you know, like very basic, understandable things to want, but they're not always things that I can expect from people. You know, sometimes it's, you know, I want my space to be respected. You know, but having that lens of, you know, what's it, where was I selfish? It doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It means that there's something that I want that I'm not getting. And that makes me upset. It makes me keep thinking about it over and over and over and over again. And then, you know, where was I self-seeking? I was told that that's the behaviors that I do to try to get what I want, you know? And so oftentimes it's, saying what I think you want to hear.
Gentlemen, that's 5 minutes, Emily.
Great. Thank you so much, Ashley. Saying what I think I think you want to hear so that you'll like me. If you can tell, people pleasing is a big defect of character of mine. Gosh, there's so many things that I do. And sometimes that was eating, eating, putting food in my mouth to ch temporarily change how I'm feeling, where was I dishonest? This one is so important. I'm not, it doesn't mean that I'm like a liar, although I do, I have lied in my life. Certainly I've told things, I've said things that aren't true, but for me, I was told that just where was I dishonest is what are the things I'm telling myself that aren't true about myself, about the situation, about other people. And that is huge for me because I learned that I was operating on this, system of beliefs about my reality that just were not true. And how am I going to be an effective human being and walk around the world? I want to be an open, loving, caring person. I want to be available to the people I love in my life. But how can I do that if I'm living on this set of assumptions that aren't true, and so this helped me to see all of these things I was telling myself. It's like, well, and even if like sometimes I'm not, how can I know them? How am I sure that they don't like me? How do you know that, Emily? Like, unless someone says, I do not like you, how do you know that, Emily? Because when you're talking, they have a weird look on their face. Maybe they're thinking about how much their stomach hurts right now. Like, you don't know. So, like, it's just, there are so many assumptions that I make, especially based on self-centeredness, believing that I am the center of the universe in a very, very self-depreciating way, not in the way of like, oh, I'm amazing, but like, but in a way of, I am a horrible person, and and just thinking about how horrible I am all the time, and needing to fix that, and so my higher power is helping me with all of that. And then fearful, that one's pretty self-explanatory. Where was I fearful? What are my fears? And that one, usually it's easy to determine what I'm afraid of. But it's harder to turn those over to higher power. When I'm fearful, I tend to be very, very self-reliant. I get like, oh my gosh, I need that illusion of control, which means I want to do everything on my own. I don't want help from higher power or anybody else. But that doesn't work for me today. It really doesn't. So I know I'm running out of time, but I will say that, day upon day, upon week, upon year, my higher power has helped heal so many relationships in my life, making amends. And I did finally make amends, those amends that I was terrified of making. I did finally make them with a lot of help. And they were transformational for me. And I hope they restored reality to the people that I had hurt. I mean, there are the relationships in my life today are so much better than I could have ever imagined. My life has expanded in so many ways, and I'm continuing to learn every day and deepen spiritually every day. I have sponsees who I so enjoy working with. I have a new sponsee who I just started taking through the process, and I am so jazzed about that because it keeps it so alive and vital for me to continue to work with other people. It's such a vital part of my program. I have a daily spiritual practice that works for me really well and changes over time. And I am so grateful to my sponsor who she helps me. She helps me because I still need so much help and support on this. I'm grateful today to no longer feel like I have to do this myself, because I can't, because I can't. I really cannot. And I'm so grateful to know that today. And to be honest with you, like I wouldn't want to anymore, because I like being with you all. I like being one of you. And
That's time, Emily.
great. Thank you so much, Ashley. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the shares too. So thank you so much for having me.